All right. Well, thank you very much. And what a blessing to hear now from the Hill family. And we've enjoyed interacting with all the different missionaries. And I've had good interaction with our two missionaries with BIMI. The Whitings, I was able to go with them to Rwanda and help them with their survey trip. And we went through all of that and went to the border of Congo. And if some of you know the news, it's kind of a difficult area in that region there. And but what an open door that God has given them. And I'm excited to actually be in a meeting together with them. That's kind of fun. Usually we aren't able to be in the same meetings together. And of course with the Hills, we were in many different conversations. And I didn't know if the Lord was going to lead them specifically this way, go short term, what was going to happen. And the Lord just seemed to just really turn them around and give them an open door to go ahead and start on deputation. And what a blessing. And it's fun to be able to interact with their family a little bit more during this time also. And the Davises, you folks know them more than I do. But what a blessing they have been to me personally. And, you know, he has a ministry of helps. He's got a heart of help. He's got a gift of helps. And he has a heart to do that. And he was already a help to me. I went to come into town, broke down. And he says, well, I'll help you. And here he saved me $200 from being towed. Went out with a big trailer and hauled my vehicle and took it to a place to get it fixed. And what a blessing. And here he demonstrated his spiritual gifts and what the ministry he's got to have, God asked for him. He demonstrated it this week. And praise the Lord for that. And I hope you're able to get behind all of the missionary families. Tonight what I want to do is I want you to think of all the people that represent these flags. Do you know them? For some, maybe they're just the name. Are you able to read some of their letters? Do you know the countries they're in? Do you know some of the challenges maybe they may have? Do you know perhaps that they have children? The names of their children. There's different responses that God has provided every Christian to do when it comes to mission work. One is absolute personal involvement. Did you know all of us are supposed to be involved in this? Everybody. We say, whoa, wait a second, I ain't going to Botswana. Hey, that's Africa, that's way out there. No. But it doesn't mean, I'm not talking about going to Africa. You see, God's called them to do that. But God wants everyone to have human involvement in missions. Everyone is supposed to be involved. We're supposed to go where we're at. I hope you are involved. You know, many times it's our American culture is that whenever there's an issue, we like to throw money at it. Actually, our government does, but we tend to do it a little bit too. I'll tell you what, we don't want to get personally involved. We don't want to get involved intimately into it. So I'll tell you what we'll do. I'll just throw money at it. And hopefully that will replace my duty. No. We're all supposed to be personally involved. We're not in complete obedience to the Great Commission unless we're all involved. So we are to be involved in evangelism. We are to be involved in providing where we are not. As we said, we go where we are, we send where we're not. We're supposed to be involved in making sure that there are means where people where we are not, where we physically cannot be, there are means where they can be able to hear the gospel. And of course, we have a wonderful program through the local church right here where missionaries can come in, can be able to present, and you can identify specifically, we want to support them. And you're able to support specifically a particular family. And you can know that family. How many of you have been part of different denominational churches where you were involved in a program, but you had no idea the people you were supporting? You had no idea. And you can know this, and you know exactly the family you are, who you're supporting. And therefore comes the next apparatus, is getting to know them and praying for God to bless them. We have to be so careful we don't do one or the other. It's all involvement. The New Testament, the early church, was able to make an incredible impact during their time frame on the known world. And they were actually accused. They were not bragging. They were accused of turning the world upside down. You realize they were not bragging and say, hey, we did this. No. The world was accusing them. Hey, these people have turned the world upside down for Christ, and we don't want them. That was Satan speaking through his people. But they did that. How could they do that? They didn't have cell phones. They didn't have TV. They didn't have radio. I mean, how could they do that? They did it because everyone was involved. New Testament missions is 100% participation. Everybody. Everybody involved everywhere. We need to be having the tracts, and we may need to make sure that we are a witness. We need to make sure we have a scheduled time where we can be able to witness to others. We need to make sure that we are giving and making sure that there is people out there that are doing the work for us where we're not. Amen. And then we pray the Lord of the harvest that He will send forth laborers into His harvest. But then we pray for the laborers we're given. That's what I want to focus on tonight. The prayer for the laborers that God sends to your church. You know, a lot of people wonder, how do you pray for missionaries? Do you just do the, God, pray for the missionaries, pray for them, bless them? I've never been to Africa, or you may say, I've never been to all these different regions. How do I pray for these people? Tonight I'm going to tell you. Very, very specifically. And I want you to take this handout that we've given to you. I want you to put it in your Bible, put it with your prayer list. And when you pray, as you pray on a daily basis, and as you read the Word of God on a daily basis, use this outline as a guide to pray for the laborers God has provided to your church. Our text is going to be 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians. Let's go ahead and have our Bibles there. Some of you say, 1 Thessalonians, where in the world's that? Well, I'll help you. It's right in front of 2 Thessalonians, all right? Wasn't I a blessing? Praise the Lord. 1 Thessalonians. Chapter 5, you have it? Let's all stand together. We're going to read the text in unison together. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Verse 25. Long verse. but is a verse that has a lot of meaning. Let's read it together in unison. Ready? Brethren, pray for us. The Apostle Paul is requesting this. And who is he asking? He is asking one of the churches he started. Church of Thessalonica, you know how we struggled in the church there as we started there. Now we're in another location. We need prayer. We need you to pray specifically for us. And to me, it seems amazing the Apostle Paul asked this. I mean, outside of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Apostle Paul was the greatest missionary ever, right? You would think that he would have some type of a special hotline. He can go directly and get anything he wanted, right? He had the same resource that we do, that every believer does. But he realized one special thing, that the ministry and the work of God is much greater than one person can do. It's got to be a team effort. It's the body of Christ laboring together, working where they're not, working where they are, sending where they're not, and praying the cover of God on His people as we labor together with Him. Tonight I'm going to explain what a missionary means when he hands you a card and says, pray for. Our Heavenly Father, I do pray that You would help now this evening. We thank You so much for the great spirit here in this church. We thank You, Father, for each and every person that has been so kind to us. They've greeted us. They've been so friendly. They've responded well in the messages. And even the good attendance, Father. We thank You for this. Now, Father, I pray that You would honor them in their effort. I pray, Father, that You would give them spiritual food tonight that they've come so hungry to receive. Spirit of God, allow me to be a help. You know my heart. Prayer is so needed. Not only in our own lives, not only in our own local church, but it has got to be for the laborers around the world. Bless us, Father, please, as we look at this very important truth tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. The Apostle Paul was very, very clear. As he wrote all the different epistles there and his labors of the struggles that he was having as he went on his three different missionary journeys. His first missionary journey was reaching just a little over the mountains where he grew up there in Tarshish. And then went to Sicily where Barnabas was from. But it was the second missionary journey that they went further inland, went further out, further in the Gentile area and had opposition and struggles. He's asking the church here at Thessalonica. Many of you are familiar, those of that study the Bible, and you are familiar with some of the missionary context, that there were churches that were the churches of Macedonia. These churches of Macedonia, Paul had reached many of them with the gospel and started churches there. They were in a very depraved area. Satan had such an inroad in some of those regions. You realize Satan does not give up ground easily. He fights it and he fights it and he fights it. Yes, God's people are victorious. Yes, we have the promise of God. But there is a spiritual battle. You can't have victory without a fight. Paul was facing this. Churches of Macedonia, yes, they were struggling and they were in deep poverty and they struggled with that. But Paul was writing to those churches of Macedonia, one of which was the church of Thessalonica. Will you pray for us? You know what we're going through. I would like to say, church here, Crooked Creek Baptist Church, many of you have been involved in church for many years. You know the spiritual struggles. You know what goes on. You know how Satan fights. And even more so in lands abroad where he has had dominion for generations. We need you to pray for God's people as they labor. There's many different things we need to be able to pray for. Tonight I'm going to list several. And I'm going to give a little bit of personal illustration and some other missionary illustrations here. And I hope it will be clear by the time we're done. And be able to help for us to realize this area of missions that so many people neglect. It must, I beg of you, it needs to be fulfilled in every one of our churches. Pray for these people. Don't just throw money at them. Get to know them. Love them. Pray for them. You know, there's been times when, and I, as a field director, missionaries sometimes struggle. And sometimes they fail. And I get calls from churches and saying, well, I just can't believe this missionary failed. We've been supporting them for all this time and we've been sending them, and here they failed. And I understand their spirit. I understand. But I would like to ask them, how much have you prayed for them? Supporting missions is not just sending a check. Your physical monetary support helps get us to the field. It helps to pay for the plane ticket. It helps to pay for the rent. It helps to be able to buy the books and the Bibles and the chairs. It helps to provide all of that. It gets us to the field. It gets us prepared for the field. But it's your prayers that helps missionaries to stay on the field. What can we pray for, Brother Bowman? What can we do? First of all, I would like to say here, they're all letter C's. Pray for their courage. Pray for their courage. I mentioned on Sunday, we need to have courage sometimes as believers here. It can be a hindrance to the gospel. And much so, even on the mission field, missionaries struggle with the courage, the boldness. Ephesians chapter 6, you see part of that in your handout there. I'll read the entire passage. The Bible says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And Paul says here again, and pray for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make the mystery, to make known the mystery of the gospel. Paul asks for utterance, boldness, ability to explain the mysteries of God. You may ask, why did he need this special prayer? Because at this time of the writing here, he was in Rome. under not such very good positive circumstances. He was incarcerated there, working through different languages, working through different cultures, working with all the different paganism that was in Rome at that time. He needed boldness. I mentioned it Sunday. One of the areas of missionary labors that is difficult is language. And I will tell you, language acquisition is one of the largest courage killers for a missionary. You realize that all of our missionaries here, they've all had Bible degrees, postgraduate degrees. We have master's degrees. We have some even doctorate degrees on the mission field. They leave for the field and they then learn the languages there, and you need to get the right acquisition there locally. And so they get it there locally, and then you are reduced at that time to that of a small child. To a toddler learning baby talk in that language. Oh, how humbling. A courage killer. And yes, you just need to be able to learn it, and you'll be able to speak with it, and be able to, and yes, you're going to get laughed at. That's why I love working with children at the beginning. Because they laugh, and you laugh back at them, and they help you, and oh, it's a wonderful experience. And the language acquisition is wonderful, but if it is not handled properly, it can be a courage killer. Pray for your missionaries. They need the boldness. They need the ability to speak, as well as learning acceptable behavior. How many of you were here at Sunday school when I talked about what was it like to be a missionary in Africa? All the different cultural things and all of that. How to be able to, even gesturing can be taboo, and gesturing like this instead of like this, and I'm just, sometimes you feel like just sitting on your hands and not doing anything. A courage killer. Paul says, please pray for me. Pray that I'll have boldness. The Apostle Paul, yes, pray that I will have utterance. My personal experience in the language of Swahili is a struggle. Swahili is not a very difficult language to learn. It was for me. I'm deaf in one ear completely. So I had a difficulty in hearing it properly. And I had to be able to take a little bit longer at time and to learn it. And I had to be able to, when they would try to speak to me, I would like, okay, open your mouth. Where are you putting that tongue right there? And being able to get exactly where to just write so I can be able to say it properly and communicate properly. And then after I finished language school, I still felt completely inadequate. I could converse a little bit, but I just, to be able to get up and speak and be able to preach, oh man. It would take me 3 days to prepare my one Sunday morning message. Study, preparation, writing it all out in English. I would start to translate it. Translate out completely every word. Translate word for word for word for word. Then I would have to get it checked. Making sure it's grammatically correct, to get all that just right. And then, on my last day, I would try to memorize it. Because the last thing I wanted to do is get up and read my message. That's not very inspiring. How would you come to church if Pastor Brinson, every time he would just sit there and just read his Sunday morning message? Maybe not. So I would try to memorize it so I can be able to speak it a little bit more freely. And oh, I tell you, it was a struggle. I remember my first time, one of the first times I preached there in Swahili, I used every word I knew to use. It took me 10 minutes. You would like that, wouldn't you? And then I was done. I prayed and we were done. You have to realize, everyone there, they don't have cars. They walk for hours to get to church. And they're like, we don't want to be here for 10 minutes and go home. One dear saint of a lady, she sat right in the back. She was from the capital city, and the Lord was able to win her to himself at an earlier age. She was already a Christian. What a dear lady. She sat in the back, and she was one of the ones that would walk a couple hours. I got done, and I prayed, and she said, hey, preacher, I don't want to walk all the way home again. Preach another sermon. I said, sister, I used every word I knew. She said, just preach it again. But honestly, a courage killer. I had so much pressure. I would study, go through the dictionaries, trying to be able to use extra vocabulary every single week. Put new vocabulary in it. And of course, my sermons got longer and longer and longer. They like that. And then I'll never forget when one of the older gentlemen came to me and said, Brother Bowman, please put your dictionary away. You're going over our heads now. Wow. I'll never forget that feeling. I felt literally like the burden just fell off me, the pressure I always had. The next Sunday, I got up with just a very limited outline and just preached from my heart. Wow, what freedom. Pray for courage for your missionaries. They struggle. Pray for boldness that God would help them. Pray for courage. Next, what's the next thing we need to be able to pray for? Pray for their character. Pray for their character. Pray that God would keep them from sin and temptation. Amen. But verse 1 here, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Hey, and we always need to make sure that we're on guard. We as Christians here in America, we've got to be on guard. Satan wants to disrupt us. He wants to ruin our testimony. He wants to ruin our effectiveness for the cause of Christ. He wants to ruin our ability to be effective to other people in our workplace. Oh, we have to be careful. But how much more on a foreign field? Pray for their character. Paul liked to always to emphasize self-discipline so he wouldn't become a casualty. The Bible says, 1 Corinthians 9, he says, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest by any means when I have preached to others, I myself would be a castaway or a casualty. How many know that we've had plenty of those? Yeah, we don't want to do that. Pray for their character. Character. Many other things I could be able to say there, but let's move on. Pray for their care. Let us see, pray for their care. I will give the two missionaries here an advance on their departure interview. When they get finished on their deputation and get all their support raised, they will come to my office and they will have what's called a departure interview, where we go through all the things and they go to every one of our departments there in the home office to make sure everything's done before they leave for the field, and I give a final interview. One of the things I always say at that time is, realize that you, when you go to the field, you are going to be fighting a very vibrant enemy. You're not going to be just on the front lines of evangelism. You do realize that all of us are on the front lines of evangelism. You know, any time you get out of track and you start to give it to someone, you're on the front lines right there. Satan's going to fight against you right there. How many of you have God has said, you need to say a word to him, say a testimony, or give them a tract, and you immediately felt opposition? Come on, how many have you? Oh yes, oh yeah. Yeah. But you have to realize, missionaries are not just on the front lines. They are likened unto the paratroopers that got dropped behind enemy lines. We're literally, as a paratrooper, when he lands, he realizes as soon as his feet hits the ground, and sometimes before his feet hit, circumstances are not going to be ideal. He's in enemy territory. Pray for their care. I talk with missionaries about culture shock and the culture stress that they have. I tell them when they go behind the enemy lines, so to speak, when they get to the field, when things don't go right, guess what? It's normal. And I've had to remind several missionaries after they get to the field, and they're all of a sudden they're hit with struggles. I'll get the phone call. Brother Bowman, how did they do? Remember the interview? Yes. What are you? I'm normal. I don't feel normal. Can you understand that one? Yes. But it's normal. And that's when you rely on God's people praying for you. Pray for their care. The full passage there, you have a small part there in the notes. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. Some missionaries deal with very difficult things. Some are dealing with voodoo. Witch doctors. Some of them have spiritual phenomena happening even in their own home because of the spiritual warfare that they're enduring in a new area with the gospel. Paul felt that culture shock and pressure. When he was on in his second missionary journey, let me read a portion of what he said. He says, "For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life." That's the Apostle Paul. How much more our own missionaries? Under the same category, not only you pray for their protection, also pray for their support. And it's all in the same category there. It's not a different point. But pray for their support. You know, missionaries, honestly, we're by faith. There's no salary that we're given by any organization. It's whatever the churches send. Myself, I'm not on salary. I am on personal support from churches that have been supporting me many times for now 33 years. From month to month, we literally do not know, really for sure, what's going to come in. Some churches have struggles from time to time and are not able to give support. Some churches close. There are some regions that will have an economic downturn. Pray for your missionaries in that area. And if you're able to maintain your support, that's the reason why you need to keep maintaining that. And as a church, make sure that when you've committed, let's follow through with it. And by God's grace, He'll help us. Amen? But pray for their support as they continue to be on the field and then all of a sudden limited. You realize sometimes they get all their support, but the local governments will change the exchange rates. The first month we arrived in Africa, we based all of our support on 60-1. One U.S. dollar, 60 in local currency to one U.S. dollar. The first month we got there, the local exchange rate tumbled and it went from 31-1. We lost half of our support that month. Not just in what people gave, but in the exchange rate. Pray for your missionaries. Pray for their care. Next, pray for their children. Pray for their children. How many of you know Satan does not play fair? Oh, yeah. Satan will try to disrupt the family no matter what. Sometimes he'll target the man. Sometimes he'll target the wife. Sometimes he can target children. Pray for their families. Pray that God would put their hedge of protection around every family. Pray that the family will adjust to the mission field. Pray that the children will be able to have friendships on the mission field. Pray that they will love the mission field. The passage here, it was one of the passages I mentioned earlier on Sunday, but I believe it's so appropriate here. I beseech you, brethren, you know the house of Stephanas, that it is of the first fruits of Achaia, the first family that got saved in that area, that they have addicted themselves, the family as a whole, they addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. Oh, what a wonderful blessing. Pray that your missionary family will be so committed and addicted that they would love being there and enjoy it. Loneliness is a real factor. Pray for them. Lastly, pray for their churches or their ministries. Pray that God will give them open doors, more opportunities to give the gospel. The verse there, withal praying also for us that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. Pray that God will give them direction in the ministry. A couple of times Paul wanted to go in a particular direction and God completely steered him in a different direction. Amen. Sometimes that happens. Pray that God will give them clear direction in the areas of ministry. Pray for grace as they continue to minister. Paul says, beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, he says, it was the care of the churches. It was a pressure. It was a stress. Pray for them. Paul was not only burdened about himself, about his own team, but also the churches that he was starting and planting, and how Satan sometimes would try to get an inroad there. Pray for those ministries. Pray for them. And it was a stress on him. And Paul is saying, brethren, pray for us. Let us not cease to pray and to support the missionaries that God has given to us to represent us around the world. I hope that you will pray for your missionaries, that you'll pray for their courage. Pray that God will give them good character as they work in labor. Pray for their care. Pray for their children, their family. Pray for those churches that God is able to start. Let me tell you, your prayers right now can be able to impact any location around the world. Pick these. I would challenge you. Get to know their names. Get to know their families. Don't just pray, God bless the missionaries. Pray for them specifically. Pray for these notes. Pray for them in these areas. And I tell you what, you will join labor with them spiritually in a way that you will never understand. Your prayers can answer a great need in a different time zone, on a different continent, in a different area. And it's because you were willing to bow the knee, to take the time, and labor in prayer. So, missionaries give cards. They're not just big business cards. They're prayer cards. Would you please take one and understand when you receive one? There's a whole lot behind that small little phrase. Brethren, pray for us.